worship together for a while here, so let's shake a few hands and welcome each other. We are the body of Christ.
Good morning, Ecclesia. That's church in Greek. Called out ones. It's good to be here. I don't know whether you've caught it lately. Pastor Stan has said a few times that we might be in for some suffering. I know it's a downer subject, but I think he's right. I just think of Pastor Saeed over in a Iraqi prison over there, you know, suffering. He's beaten to a pulp and tortured for the sole reason of proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. And I just think, wow, are we ready? We're ready to suffer. The Bible says everyone will suffer persecution. Everyone in Christ will suffer persecution. Wow. That's a scary thought. Encourage you to be ready. Revelation, there's a verse that says, Satan is going to put some of you in prison for 7 days. Be faithful until the end, and you will receive a crown of life. Wow. That's powerful. Jesus suffered cumulatively for all of our sins on the cross. And can we suffer for him? I hope so. Yeah. But days are coming and are here now when those who kill you will think they're doing God a favor. That's happened. People getting their throat, their heads cut off over there by ISIS. It's happening right now. The days now are, they're here. Yeah. It's members of your own household will turn against you and turn you in. I'm experiencing that right now. But I just want to encourage people, to stand firm in the faith, be in the Word. Just want to tell those people that committed their hearts to Jesus last week to be in the Word. Desire the Word so that they can grow thereby. That, I don't think, was mentioned. That's how I stay clean and how I stay just with Him. That's how He speaks to me and other ways too. But I'd just like to share a few leg stories here, actually. leave on a happy note. About 22 years ago, I was living in sin and debauchery in my trailer in Penhold. My buddies called it the Badger Cave. I was brewing copious amounts of beer and growing marijuana in a back room and selling it. It's amazing the things you can justify. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. Thought I was a Christian, prayed the prayer numerous times, but it didn't take. It wasn't there, or I wouldn't have been worshiping Satan, because that's what smoking dope is, friends. Worshiping Satan. Pharmakia is the Greek word. It's translated into four English words: sorcery, witchcraft, druggings, and another one I can't remember. And that's what it is. Drug use. And abusing prescription drugs also is pharmakia. Anyway, a little tidbit there for you. So I was living the life of sin there. I thought after my divorce everything would be fine and I'd live happily ever after doing what I was doing there. But God had other plans. And I came home from work one day and I went over to a buddy's to give him some money for some dope. And I left his place and I went, yippee, Miller time! And I ran across the sidewalk and I jumped over the sidewalk and I was turning and running. And I was, all my weight was on one foot, and I hit black ice on the sidewalk. And so I was like that, running and sliding. And I ice, no problem. I'm still up. All of a sudden, I hit pavement. I'm like, I heard both bones break in my right leg, my power leg. I'm skiing. The top little one broke here, and the big one broke down here at the bottom. And they would spiral breaks like that, which is the worst kind of break you can get, eh? And so I hopped back to the door, and it was a funny story. And he was too wasted to take me into the emergency. And so anyway, so I got my buddy that I was roommate in to take me into emergency. And I was lying there in pain, mostly shock. I didn't get any pain right away, which is amazing. And so I went into emergency. My buddy starts telling me the story, that Stephen King story about the guy gets hobbled and broke both his legs. I'm laughing, and the doctor comes in. He goes, "This isn't funny. This is a bad break." And so I ended up getting a big pin in my leg and stuff. And I had a lot of time, about 6 weeks, laying on my back to think about where my life was going and what I was doing. And I did, and I thought about the Bible, and I started reading the Bible. And that was the Great Shepherd, by the way, the Chief Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, that broke my leg with his club. Here, Doug, think about this. Snap. There's no doubt about it. He did that to get to my attention, because he had to. So I started reading the Bible. I started reading the King James, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels. Gospels, Greek word, means good news. And I didn't get much of it. It was like Greek, King James. But then I started reading the Message, and I read the Message, and it was very clear to me who Jesus was and what he did. And I got on my knees, and I humbled myself. I came to the end of myself, and I just got on my knees. Mom used to send me out those little pamphlets, Billy Graham, you know, Steps to Peace with God, and I just read one of them. I prayed the prayer this time with a repentant heart. I turned repentance. Stan has mentioned it lately a few times, that Jesus' first sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist's first sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Metanoia, it's a compound Greek word. It means to change. In the Old Testament, it means to change your direction. In the New Testament, it means to change your mind. You put them both together, right? You repent, you change your direction, you change your mind. You go from your way to his way, and you focus on him, and you believe him, and you trust him. And that's what I did. That was amazing. Amazing conversion story, I guess. But anyhow, so since then I've been, totally drug-free. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there's another leg story. I was over at a Bible study with Jill at Convent Park, and Don meets me at the door, and he says, "Doug," he says, "God wants to heal your leg." And I said, "Oh, right on. Praise his holy name. My back has really been really getting me, but leg would be good, you know." So we went in there. We had a great Bible study. There's a few people here that were there, maybe. And just a great time, and just preaching the gospel and just sharing God's stories and God. And then at the end of the Bible study, people started to leave, and Don goes, "Doug, what about your leg?" And I said, "Well, let's pray, you know. Sure." And so I sat down, and Don took my, first Don says, "Yeah, Jill, pray for Doug's leg." Jill says, "No, God told you to pray. You pray." I said, "Well, somebody pray for my leg. You know, somebody. You know, like, I could pray for myself." But anyway, so I sit down, and Don takes my both ankles, and he goes, "Oh, wow, look, this one is quite a bit shorter, eh? Like the one that I broke. The one that I broke was shorter. Because it was actually a centimeter and a half shorter after the break. That's how serious it was." Anyway, so Don grabbed my legs, and he just prayed a simple prayer to God. He just, you know, I can't remember what he prayed. We just asked God, and we were talking about Derek Prince and how he, you know, he used to heal people and stuff like that. And he just prayed a simple prayer, and this is what I felt. This is amazing, eh? I felt my pant leg go boop, 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 go up three times, and I just went, whoa. Wow, that was neat. And Don goes, "Did you see that?" And Jill said, "Oh, I've never seen anything like that before." Like, my leg literally grew out. Hey, God just grew it out. Oh, praise his holy, awesome name. And he's healed me. He healed me a couple times, too. Miracles aren't over. I just want to tell you, like, since the book of canon of Scripture was closed, miracles haven't ended. They're still here. God wants to bless you. You know, you have faith to believe. And not only that, he just loves you, and he wants to heal you. Eh? So he's an amazing God. I just wanted to share that story. And any other God stories anybody wants to share this morning? You can kind of... Goldust. Yeah, Goldust. It's not in the Word. I feel uncomfortable sharing that one, but I could. Let's let other people share. Any God stories lately? Sunny?
You want to talk about God's truth? It's living and it's real and it's breathing,
hello,
as you and I are today. pray. And God's truth showed itself to me in a very real, very practical way this week. My wife and I hold a prayer group in our home every Thursday night. And somehow I got in this crazy idea in my mind that I was going to watch the Flames game while the prayer group was going on. And my wife had different ideas than that. And the reason that I want to share that is because that is God's truth. And God doesn't want competition. He doesn't want you focusing on something else. He wants you focusing on him. Because he's the sole reason why we are here. Okay? And it's taken a lot for me to confess this, but I think that it's in the narrative of truth is where when we put aside our worldly things, when we put aside our personal preferences, when we put aside those things that seem so everyday to us and so natural to us, and we put God in his right place, that is when we're really going to start to see changes in our lives. I mean, monumental changes in our lives. There's going to be foundational shifts in areas of our lives that you're never going to believe that just happened, but it just did. And so, because of God's faithfulness and because of my wife's faithfulness and persistence, happy to report that God is fine and doing well in their home again.
We're going to pray for you, though.
Okay. Amen.
We're going to pray for Sonny. He's been struggling with heart issues, not internal heart issues, but real heart issues, right? So we're going to ask you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray for that healing power that Doug was talking about. We agree together that you are still the God who heals. That we are to come to you when we have a need, and we are to ask the elders to lay their hands and to anoint with oil and to pray. And so we do that in Sonny's case right now. And actually, just hang on 1 minute. I'm going to get the oil. If it says we should do that, then we should do it. Thank you, Lord. Healing power of Jesus and his blood. So God, we take you at your word, and I pray that Sonny's heart will be healed. We would say today that we need him. His family needs him. His wife needs him. Rose needs him. And so we just plead with you, God, that you'll be gracious, and we claim healing for this man of God, because you are the God who heals us. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Just wanted to make an announcement. There's a particular vehicle over here. It's blocking the driveway of this business over here. Uh-oh. So if that's your vehicle, they want it moved to ASAP.
What kind of vehicle?
It's a MDX, black MDX.
I don't even know what to say. Okay, I'll carry on with those. God, you know, have you seen God? How have you seen God moving or seen God? Paul? And then...
I've been seeing this girl, and she's had a lot of anger issues towards God. She's blamed all kinds of things that have happened to her. Her father molested her. Her father made her brothers have sex with her when she was a kid. She had a whole lot of anger. And anyway, she's been watching me in the last few months because I was getting angry. And she started asking me lately, why are you not affected when these things are happening to you? And I said, I got Jesus. He worries about that. I just worry about working.
Amen.
And she just liked that. And last Friday, she called her cousin, who's a pastor, and she decided she wants Jesus.
Cool.
So
man,
it's not
good news.
It's not us.
No.
They're not gonna know us by our words. They're gonna know us by our actions. And they're gonna seek.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
Brian.
Well, I just want to confirm both Sonny's and Paul's word, really, my story. I shared the story by way of text with Stan a month or so ago. So where we live, we've been there now like 4.5 years. And God does not want weekend custody of us.
Hmm.
Absolutely not. And I can't express how important it is to be alone with him for me every day.
Yeah.
And I'm up. And I'm not boasting because I don't have this discipline, but he gets me up at a couple hours before I need to be doing anything. And I'm in his word, and I'm praying. There's prayer, what to pray for, comes to me at that time. It comes to me through the word, and it comes to me through the things that are happening around me. And I have a neighbor on one side, and she has a son that's has severe autism. And he'll be yelling and screaming. And, you know, I can't understand, can't grasp what kind of a job that would be, living in that environment. Like, that would be horrendous. Mm. So I'm praying for my neighbor lady. And she also told me the story of her sister, whose first husband shook their baby until it was dead. And anyway, my neighbor lady, she notices for a year, year and a half, that she sees the light come on at 5 o'clock in the morning. And a year and a half, she's been just watching this, and she says, Brian, why is it that you get up so early? Why is it, what are you doing? Is it my son keeping you awake? You know, that was her first thoughts. And I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I said, I've prayed a lot for you and your son, because I can't, you know, wrap my head around what that would be like. But I just pray for you. I said, and that's what I'm up. I'm up praying and reading God's word, because he changed my life, and I told her a bit of my story. And a few months went on, and she watched the light go on. One day there was a knock at the door. She asked if she could come in and pray with me.
Cool.
And yeah, it isn't what we speak. It's the way we live, you know.
Thank you, Jesus.
When we become disciples, man, that word is massive.
Yeah.
It becomes, am I willing to sign on to your life? Will I walk with you? What does that mean? Will I have fellowship with you every day if that's what it takes to see you understand this wonderful book of John, who Jesus is, what he does for us? Will I sign on with your life? You know, I've watched so many times people brought to Jesus and nobody come alongside. And I'm pretty sure that hurts his heart. I know it hurts mine.
Thanks, Brian.
Please stand. We're still trying to sort out this car issue. There's a buddy's got his driveway blocked right here across the street. It's a blue Pontiac Vibe. So if that's your blue Pontiac Vibe, it's blocking Buddy's driveway over here, and he needs to get it out of there.
Okay, so which driveway is it?
It's right across the street over here by that Stanton Auto or whatever this is, right over here.
Okay. Anyone got a blue Vibe, a Pontiac Vibe? Oh, there we go. She can't find her key. Wolf.
Okay, thanks.
No, that's
excuse
good.
We my interruption.
That's important. We want to be good neighbors, so we want to be careful about that.
Gaston.
Thank you. I want to talk about. I go to a nursing home every one first Sunday of the month, and I was there early. Half an hour early, and there was a lady there, she's 94 years old, and she's sitting at the piano. And one of her hand was like this, over here. And she was playing the piano with one hand. So I asked her, I said, what happened to your hand? She said, I had a stroke. So I was sitting over there. So I said, how about I pray for you? So I reached, just touched her. said a simple prayer. And so I went away, and I came back a few minutes later, maybe 10 minutes, and there was the lady that was supposed to be playing the piano there for us. She was showing her, she was sat beside her to play. And then I walked by, and she was, that lady I prayed for, was playing with both hands. So her hands were paralyzed over here before, and now she was playing with both hands. So I pointed out to her, I said, hey, you're playing with both hands. And she didn't even notice herself. She said, oh, I had a stroke. She didn't even clue in that she was here.
Amen.
She's 94, you know?
Good news. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we got time for just a couple more, maybe. Come on, Ricky.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just excited. I don't know where to start or where to end. In Him, I live and move and have my being. And I don't know, this last week was so amazing. I'm 83 years old. He gives me the strength to even sweep the parking lot. Yeah, with the help of Samantha and Jason, and we worked on it, and a couple of others. But it amazes me that God gave that to me, and that I can do that in His name. And other things, from the morning to night, there are things that I think, oh, Lord, I don't think I can do that. And then I sit back and I think, yeah, I can, and I can. And so we never give up. We live and move, and we have our being in Him. I am so excited when it comes to the things of God. I was just, I feel like that prophet that came down out of that cave and had his mantle. Who was that? Elijah? Who was that? And he had his mantle over him, kneeling down before the Lord, because in himself he didn't have anything, and that's how I feel too. God, there is nothing in me that can do this. But you so live in me, and I am so thankful for this body too, for all of you guys. The way that God is holding us and keeping us, there is only one thing for us to do, and that is praise Him. Praise Him with all your heart, because there are good things to come. We see bad things coming, but if we walk close with Him, and we pay attention and spend time with Him, He'll see us through.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good reminder. God is good. I'm just going to, one more then, Samantha.
God has just revealed something to me. Last week, actually Easter weekend, I ended up in the hospital having chest pains. My heart rate was racing really fast, and then it would slow right down. And then you announced that Sonny was having heart problems, and God's revealing to me that it's a word of knowledge on me, and I need to be praying for Sonny. So I just, Sonny, I just want to let you know I'm going to be praying for you, because I'm still getting those pains, and they come and they go, and I'm not going to stop until you are completely healed.
Amen. Thank you. And all the people said amen, right? That's good. So those are good examples of what God's doing, and a reminder that God's not dead. He's still alive. He's still alive even right now. There are healings that are taking place. There's the power of God that we can still avail ourselves of. 83, I would never have guessed. I thought you were like 63. So, but that God gives us strength even in our older age. And one of the things I'm really grateful for are the older, wiser, mature people that we have among us. We're really blessed. I hope you know that. As a congregation, we're really blessed. And we're not a church where there's a whole lot of old people that go off to be snowbirds for 6 months of the year. But there are mostly, for the most part, we're people who go, I'm here to serve God, and I'm going to serve Him until I die. And yeah, there's a day coming when I will die, but until that happens, I am going to be a green sprout, which is what the psalmist talks about, that even in my old age, there's going to be a green sprout. There's going to be life. I am not, there is no retirement, and this is bad news. Probably some of you don't want to come again, but in the scriptures, it doesn't say in the scriptures that there's a thing called Freedom 55 or Freedom 65 or anything like that. The reality is we're to serve the Lord for all of the days that he's given us. We're going to serve him. That doesn't mean that you can never take a day off or you can't have a vacation. We need that time sometimes of refreshing. That's clear too. But we serve God. Whatever the days we're given are days that we serve him and that we're used by him. Like Brian said and like Paul said, there are people in our lives and they care a whole lot more about how we live and what they see in us than what we say. We can say all kinds of things, but if the words don't match up with our actions, it's not going to communicate anything. Amen? And just before we pray and hear God's word, I want to just bring one more thing up, and that is, well, there is going to be a potluck next week. Is that why your hands up? Okay. All right, so bring sandwiches. Right after church, we're going to just enjoy a little meal together. And Alvin, I was just going to mention that, but why don't you do it? Exactly. This is really important. It's totally biblical. It's what the scriptures teach us, that when if you really want to follow Jesus and if you haven't been baptized, you need to get in the water. It's a symbol of the washing away of all your sins. It's a reminder that the blood of Jesus covers us. And, you know, whether we get into the river or in this case, we're going to have the big blue tank sitting here in the middle because it's a little cold to put people through that torture right this time of the year. But if you want to get baptized, we want to baptize you. We want to have you get in the water and confess Christ. And like I said last week, it isn't so much about that we invite Jesus into our hearts. That's a nice sentimental thought. Not very biblical, actually. The Bible doesn't say that we need to do that. What the Bible says we really ought to do is repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that we are to turn, like Doug talked about earlier, you turn from your old ways and you start a new life with Christ. And you do that by coming up out of the water and everything behind is left behind. And you belong, at that point, you belong tangibly, in actuality, to Jesus Christ. That's good news. And you're invited to do that. We'd like to talk to you or at least know that you want to be a part of that. That's in 2 weeks. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your grace and your power, for how vibrant and alive and free we are because of the resurrection and because of the Christ who lives in us. We give you praise. For the people around us here and for the family of God and for the care and the love that we have for each other, we thank you. And for your word today, we're so grateful for your word. Already that's been spoken by a few different people, how vital the word of God is. And we want to hear from you and be followers and doers of your word. So speak today, Lord. We pray that through the moving and through the power of your Holy Spirit, your word would just communicate truth and communicate how much you love us and what you've saved us from. And so we just invite you, Spirit of God, to move here today among us and let your word be clear and Christ-focused and Christ-centered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just invite you to turn in your Bibles today to Luke chapter 24. We've been spending some time prior to Easter, prior to Resurrection Sunday, you know, spending time with Jesus' teachings. And then last week we had a great service. We just celebrated the life. Remember that the angel said to Mary, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Right? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? If you want to see Jesus, there's one place we know for sure that he won't be. He won't be where there's death. Because Jesus is all about life. Anyone remember any of this vaguely? Dawn does. Good. Okay. Because that's what we talked about last week. Thanks, Don. Why are you looking among the living, or among the dead for the living? Jesus is alive, you know. He's really alive, and we should start hanging around with living people, right? Don't go back to the grave. Don't go back to the old ways of life. Don't go back to the old ways of thinking, because you have been crucified with Christ, and you are no longer dead. You are alive too. Amen? Okay, well, I don't need to give that whole sermon again, but it was really good. And if you weren't here, you missed it, and it was something else. So anyways, going on here today, if I say so myself. The road to Emmaus is where we read today, Luke 24. So this is the next thing. This is the next thing that happens. Luke 24, verse 13. Would you read with me there? Now, the same day, two of them, meaning two disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem that you do not know the things that have happened here in these last days, in these days?" "Well, what things?" he asked. "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers handed Jesus, him, over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Isn't that good? You say amen? I get excited. You know that already, but I'm easily excited, maybe. I mean, I love God's word, and I love what we get here. I love the fact that God in his wisdom, somewhere way back there, thought, you know what, this will be really good. I got to give them this story and make sure it's in the Bible. This is going to be for you guys so that you know what happened when my son rose from the dead. And so we get this story. We're privy to this conversation between Cleopas and the other guy, we don't know his name, as they walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles. I guess that's a little over 10 kilometers, right? We get the story. We get, you know, them walking along, and they're talking about what had happened in Jerusalem and what happened to Jesus and how their leaders had crucified him and beaten him and taken his life. And suddenly Jesus, who seems to appear in and out of this scene whenever he feels like it, he just appears. And he's walking along with them, and he goes, "So what are you guys talking about?" And they don't go, "Mind your own business. Where did you come from?" Like, you know, instead they go, "Oh, hey, well, we're talking about Jesus, and we're just talking about all the things that happened in the last 3 days, and and all the amazing stuff that's gone on, and that this Jesus was someone that we thought was going to be, you know, maybe the Messiah, but he's dead now. And by the way, where have you been? This is all big news, right? All big news. And it happened 3 days ago. Did you not? Are you a visitor to Jerusalem that you don't know what's going on or what has gone on? And you know, you read the story, and the next thing that happens is Jesus opens the Word. We want to talk about this today. But I want to, first of all, understand as we read the story together and as we do this walk, we see them walking together, that there's a lot in here about the lack of faith to start with. That there's a lack of faith of these two people. And I want to just give you three quick examples. There's probably more, but that we're to see as we read this scripture, as we read the story of the two men walking on the road to Emmaus, we are to recognize that there's a lack of faith here, which is probably indicative of the lack of faith that was sort of just generally going on throughout Jerusalem and among the disciples, that there were very few people who stood up or who were even waiting for Jesus to be risen. But they were all kind of in the dumps and not understanding that Christ had to die. He had to give his life. He had to be the sacrificial lamb. Amen? He had to die. They didn't get it. So the lack of faith. The first way that we recognize that is when they're talking to Jesus, these two men say, well, we thought that Jesus was a great prophet. Let's hear what they said. This is back in like verse 19 or 20. It says that they reply, well, we know about this Jesus, that he was a prophet and that he was powerful in word and deed before God and all people. And we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And you got to notice that the way they describe Jesus is, you know, he was a prophet, he was a good man, he was a good teacher, and he did some pretty cool stuff. He was pretty powerful. But what they don't say here is that he was, or that he is, Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer. They didn't have that kind of faith, all right? They hoped, they said, we were hoping that he would be this Savior. But no, he's not. They've already written it off. No, he's not. He's gone. You know, understand? Like, that's a lack of faith. They just recognized him as a good prophet, as a good man, someone who did some amazing things. Well, the world is full of those kind of people. You understand that? There's all kinds of people who've had a good message or who've spoken truth. Some of them have done some great things in life. But they're not Jesus. They are not Messiah. They're not Savior. They are not the Christ. And you need to notice that when Jesus was teaching them, when he finally opened the Word, he said, didn't the Christ, that's what he says, didn't the Christ have to suffer like he suffered before he would be exalted? He refers to himself as not just as a good prophet or a man who is powerful in word and deed. He says, no, that the Christ, right? Meaning the anointed one of God. That's what Christ is. The anointed one of God has come, and he showed himself to them. So, number one, there's one of the first ways that we see that lacking faith. The second example that I recognize, at least, is when they start telling Jesus a story about the women, about Mary and the other women, they say something kind of interesting. They said this, and so the women went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. But they came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Wait a minute. The women never said that. Read it. Read it in Matthew or in Luke or in John. The women never said, we saw a vision of angels. What the women actually said is, we saw angels. We saw angels. Let me show you. If you just back it up. We read it last week. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down, not to a vision, but to actual angels with their faces to the ground. And the angel said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Or if I read from John, in John chapter 20, It says here that Mary was outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other, one at the head and the other at the foot. You get that? Like, there's a difference between saying, you know, those women, they saw a vision of Jesus, than to say the women saw the angels, or the woman saw, in Mary's case, saw Jesus. These were women who were not conjuring up some Jesus sighting or some sighting of some angels. They literally saw these angels. But the men, as they're walking along the road, are already breaking this down and rationalizing it and finding some kind of a reasonable explanation. And the best kind of reasonable explanation they can think of is, well, they were seeing things. You know, well, you know women. They're emotional, and they were probably pretty tired, and they had this vision that they saw some angels, right? But that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says they saw two angels, and there was one on the foot, and there was one on the head of the bed where Jesus lay, right? Not that they made this up, not that they were tired. You know, they were tired that night, those women. They were praying, and it was a long day, you know, the day before, and they thought they saw. They thought, they imagined, they dreamed, they had a vision. They had a vision, you know. That's always such a general thing, isn't it? I almost hate it when people say that. I had a vision, and or I had a dream. I mean, dreams and visions can get so muddied up. And clearly, these two guys just wanted to find some kind of a explanation that would sort of explain this away. But it demonstrates their lack of faith. They really didn't believe what they were told. They didn't believe what the women said. We've seen, in one case, we've seen the angels, and then Mary, who came back and said, I have seen the Lord. The third example of their faithlessness, excuse me a sec here. Third example is really just the very fact that they're on the road home. When you think about it, I mean, what are they doing? Why are they going to Emmaus? They're 7 miles away from Jerusalem where all the action was happening. If they really believed that Jesus was alive, I mean, if you believe that Jesus was alive and he was in Red Deer, would you be walking to Black Falls? No. I mean, I'm staying in Jerusalem. I want to see what's going on. They're saying that Jesus is risen from the dead. I'm not going, you know, let's go home. Right? Not going home. I'm not going home. I'm going to find Jesus. He's alive. There are different people saying that he is risen from the dead. And the very fact that they decide, oh, we're just going home. You know, sometimes just going home isn't the right thing to do. And in fact, there's a number of examples when you read in the New Testament that people are not where they're supposed to be when you come to the resurrection of Jesus. Thomas, you know, he's another example. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He should have been with the other disciples. He should have been praying. He should have been waiting. He should have been listening and remembering what Jesus said, that on the third day I'm coming back. But instead, he was out doing something else. And I don't care what something else you're doing. It's the wrong thing to be doing. Sometimes going home, even though it might seem like that's a pretty good place to go, it's the wrong place to go. You need to go and find Jesus. You need to seek him out. And the very fact that these guys were on the road to Emmaus and that they didn't stay in Jerusalem is indicative of the fact that they didn't believe. Follow me? Okay, 6 people follow me, good. And Don. The reality and the beauty of this passage, though, for me, isn't so much in their lack of faith, but that Jesus is so intent on revealing himself. He just wants these people to know who he really is. And I love this story because we get such a detailed view of it, right? We're privy to what's going on in this discussion and this conversation. And we need to celebrate it today as we read this story, that the reality and the truth of this story is that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who wants to be known. Amen? He wants to be known. And I say this all the time. I guess everyone has their own little things that they say, but I believe this with all my heart, that God, Jesus God, is a God of revelation. He wants to be known. He wants to uncover himself. He wants you to recognize him for who he really is. And that he's not playing hide and seek, or he's not off in some faraway galaxy, but he's just like right here. He goes, I'm right here. Don't you see me? My signature is on everything around. I have made it all. I have redeemed it all. And I love you all. Look, it's me. I'm alive. Right? And that's what he's doing. You can do that. Yeah, me and Donald clap. There you go. He's alive, and he's a God of revelation, and he shows himself to the disciples, to these two disciples, just like he does to us. And I promise you today that if you seek God, you'll find him. And I want to say that because there might be a few of you here today that are going, well, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if this Jesus is who this bald guy says he is. You know, I don't know if he's really risen. Could this be true? Well, hey, let me tell you this. If you're wondering that, don't let anyone twist your arm, because I'm not here to twist your arm. Don't let anyone try to sell this to you, because it's not for sale. It's just a free gift. You got it. Believing is a free gift. God says, here, you want it? And you go, yeah, I'll take it, or you don't want to take it. Don't let anyone shove it down your throat. The reality is, if you seek God, if you really seek him, you'll find him. That I believe to be absolutely true. If you ask, what does the Bible say? It will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. So if you seek God, the Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Some of you are on that road right now. Some of you are still are just getting a bit of it. You're understanding it. You're believing it. And it's growing in you. And that's exciting. It's going to keep growing in you. And all I can do is encourage you today just to keep seeking him. Right? Just keep seeking him. Keep asking him. It's okay to pray. To say, God, I don't know. Show me that you're real. That's a good prayer. Don't let anybody try to sell this to you or try to twist your arm or manipulate you into faith, because it never works. You believe because you ask Jesus to show himself, and he does it. He really does. And I know that many of us have experienced that. I've experienced that in my life too. And when we read the story, I want to just show you three ways that Jesus revealed himself to these two friends. The first way is through the word. The first thing that Jesus did as he walked along these two guys and they invited him to join the conversation, you know, first of all, he's kind of tough on them. He says, oh, you foolish people. You know, he says, how can you not believe this, right? How can you not know that the Christ had to die like this and then be exalted? He says, here, who's got a Bible? They must have had one with them. Or maybe Jesus just spoke the word that he had memorized in his own heart. But he says, here, let me show you. And the Bible says that from then on, as he walked along with them for the rest of the way from there to Emmaus, he said, let me show you the Christ. And he showed them, he revealed them the things that were said about him, about Jesus. From Moses and from the prophets, he opened the word of God. Here's how God reveals himself. Amen? Here's how you get to know. You want to know if God's real? Here's what you do. You start reading your Bible. I was mentioned by a few other people today. Really confirms what I believe God wants us to hear today. It's time we get into this. It's time we start reading the Bible and going, okay, what would you say to me today, God? Right? And Holy Spirit, would you just speak through these words? Because I need to hear from God. I need to see the Lord. This is God's revelation. It's one of the first things that Jesus did when he walked with those two fellows, with Cleopas and the other guy. He said, let me open the word. Let me show you about the Christ. Let me tell you what Moses said about Christ. And then let's go into Isaiah. Let me show you Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 53. Let me show you Malachi and Micah and some of the other prophets. And then I'll show you and I'll reveal to you. And you're going to begin to understand why the Christ had to die through God's word. Do you have that picture for me? Can you put it on? This week, I was in a meeting with a guy named Greg Musselman. And he works with an organization for martyrs. I'm trying to think now what it's called. Yes. Say it again. Voice of the Martyrs. He had a Bible. I took a picture of this Bible. And this Bible comes from Nigeria near the northern town of Jos, which, by the way, 20 years ago was a Christian stronghold. I remember as a kid even, we would send missionaries to Nigeria and to Jos, and Christians were, people were becoming Christians in that part of Nigeria by the thousands. But now there's great opposition, great persecution, and people are losing their lives because of radical Islamic individuals who want to see Christians dead. Now, in this little church, two gunmen came in and shot 20 of the 40 people who were there. This Bible was owned by a 26-year-old man. His name was Jacobo. And he did not die. He was shot in the hip. He did not die. He was one of the ones who lived. But I saw this Bible this week. I held it in my hands. And the blood that was on it and the bullet hole that was in the Bible. And why aren't we reading it? We have it so ready. It's unlikely that anyone's going to be coming in here with an AK-47 today. Why are we not reading it? This is a Bible that someone almost lost his life over, and many in that little congregation did. And you know, you read this news, you know there's lots of stories like that, and they are identifying Christians. People who, like Doug said, Greg Musselman said, I know dozens of people, he said, dozens of people who spend 15 years of their lives in prison only for one reason, and that's that they proclaim the name of Christ. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't break any laws, but they said, I believe in Jesus. And here's the kicker. You know how they know how to kill, who's a Christian? You might go, how do you know who's a Christian and who's not a Christian? Well, often they know who the Christians are because they're walking around with one of these. So, this is how God reveals himself. We have brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who hold on to this thing for dear life. They hold on to it with all the love they can muster. They memorize it. They spend hours in it. They spend hours in prayer. Don't just toss it aside. Because here's how God reveals himself. Amen? You can change, you can take off the picture. Second thing that Jesus does. Let's just look at it again. How he reveals himself. The second way that he reveals himself is through his presence. Read this with me again. In Luke 24... Luke 24, it says that when he was at the table, looking at verse 30, he took the bread and he gave thanks, he broke it, he began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? One of the ways that God shows us that he's God. One of the ways that we come to know Jesus is that we know him by his presence. And some of you are going to go, yeah, absolutely, I get that, I know that, I live that. Others of you are going to go, I don't get that, I don't know it. But I'm going to tell you this. As a believer, as a Christian, as someone filled with the Holy Spirit, I know the presence of Christ. I know the presence of Christ. I know how real he is because he walks with me. And what I've come to know and come to realize, just like the guys on that road to Emmaus, is that many times in my life I didn't realize that he was walking with me until later on, which is really the case for those two fellows as well. They didn't realize that the presence of God was with them. I look back on my life, and I've been thinking about that. I had a few talks with Crystal this week about just some of the hard things, you know, that we went through, some hard things with our children and some struggles in our marriage and some hard things when our parents got sick and we watch them die, and, you know, we've all gone through really difficult things, all of us have, And I think that a lot of times I didn't realize at the time that God was right there. That he was walking with me even when it felt like I was walking alone. Amen? That he was still a good shepherd who cared for his sheep even when I was going through really hard valleys. And I don't want to make a big point of this today. I just want to state it real simply for you. That no matter what you're going through, it may feel like he's not with you, but he is so with you. He really is. And you may not know it, you may not realize it until 10 years down the road. And then one day you're going to wake up, you're going to go, yeah, you know, now that I think about it, my heart was burning, right? Just like they said. Now that I think about it, that Jesus, he was right there. He didn't ever forsake me. He never left me. He was always there. He kept his promises. You need to know this today. Some of you are struggling and you're going through a hard time, or maybe you're just done, you know, you're just coming out of that valley. Know this today. The presence of God is proof that he's real. It really is. And he is with you even when you're going through a tough depression, or you're going through a sickness, or you're coming out of an addiction, or you're barely able to get out of the hospital. He's with you. He is with you. And you may not be able to even see it right now. That's where faith comes in. You've got to trust him. He's with you. And then the last thing, and to me this is one of the most, one of the most amazing things that happens in this story, and something that I think we're expected to get and understand, and that's that he reveals himself. God, Jesus wants you to know him. He wants you to know him through the power of his resurrection. So it's the word, it's through the revelation of God's word, it's the revelation of the presence of God as we walk with him, but there's also this thing about his resurrection, and I want you to just sort of play back the scene with me, because I want you to understand it. And it says that he finally came into the house, right? He came into the house, and they didn't know it was him. But now listen to what it says. They didn't know that it was Jesus. He was at the table. And it says here that, verse 30, that when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he began to give it to them, and then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then later on, when they tell that story, they say this, that the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now think about that. Why? What happens? What happens when he broke the bread? What did they see, though? His hands. Who said that? He saw his hands, right? He broke the bread. They say it. Luke tells us this two times so that we won't miss it. That as he broke the bread and he gave it to them, they saw the nail holes in his hands. They saw that he was who he said he was. They saw that he was risen from the dead. And, yeah, and he disappeared. But they knew it, right? He wants you to know that he's alive. He wants you to know that he has not forsaken you. He wants you to know that there's the nail holes in his hands, that he is alive. He's no longer in the grave, that he is Christ, that he is the Christ, and he died for you. How does he show himself? He shows himself as the resurrected Lord. And if we believe, let's hear me today, if we believe that he is anything less than that, if we believe that he's just a good man who did some powerful stuff and he was a pretty good talker, a good speaker, you know, but we don't see him as the Savior who has the nail holes in his hands to prove that he's resurrected, we miss the whole boat. He needs to be resurrected Lord. He needs to be the one who's risen from the dead. Amen? Yeah. And he shows himself. He does. He shows himself because he says, I want you to know me. I want you to understand the depth of my love for you. I want you to know that I will open your eyes. Isn't that great? And their eyes were open. Their eyes were opened, and they knew that this was Jesus. They knew that it was the Lord. And they said to each other, hey, weren't our hearts burning? Weren't we just burning inside of us? Thank you, God. Okay, so now what? I mean, that's the question. That's the question I had for God. Good message, God. I like the word. Now what? Should we just say amen? Everyone go, head home, go to Timmy's on the way, grab some coffee. Now what, God? Just let me talk, okay? Now what? We have a God, if we believe this, who says, I'm going to show myself to you. I'm a God who wants to be known. I want to stand before you. I want to show you that those hands that have been driving you to the hospital and maybe been giving you some money or some food, those hands have nail holes in them. Because they're the hands of God. So do we believe that? So what, here, this is maybe risky, and I feel like my neck is out there a little bit, but I don't care. I mean, if that's really true, and if we're going to believe this, that God is a God of revelation, and that if we seek him with all our hearts, we're going to find him, and that he's a God who still speaks, then why not right now? Why can't God just even do something small or say a little thing just to say, I am your God? Otherwise, this all becomes just an intellectual exercise. And frankly, I don't need any more intellectual exercises in my life. I need the risen Savior, and I need him to just show himself. So we invite you right now, Lord Jesus. And I don't know how you plan on doing this, but we invite you to just to speak or just to show us that you are still risen, that you are still alive. And that you want to be known. Speak and open our eyes, just like you did with those two on the road to Emmaus. You opened their eyes and they recognize you. We want to recognize you right now. And so we're doing this in faith, God. Thank you, Jesus. We just wait on you.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch him. Say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
If you have something, share it. I'm not going to get in the way of this. There's a promise. Wherever there's two of you or three of you, there I am.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. And open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's self-evident. It's right there. It's right there in front of you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, Mark. That's a good word. That's God's revelation, and that's for someone here today. He's saying, real basically, I love you, and you better know it. I love you so much. It's deeper, it's wider, it's higher, it's thicker than anything you can ever imagine, and you may not leave this place today without knowing it. I love you, and you hear it. You better hear it. That's me speaking. Guess what God's saying? Annie? Amen. Lord, I'm coming. Lord, I'm coming. Amen. Just come to God. Thank you, God. God wants to show himself. He just wants to reveal himself. So we're just going to listen. Have your way here, God. louder, okay, Frank? I want to hear it. Amen. It's in you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Yes. Can I just stop you? Alvin, would you get the microphone? Because it doesn't do any good if we hear from God, but no one hears it. So I want to be able to hear this. Sorry about that, Renee.
I'm not good at remembering what I just said. It's significant because as his glory comes in our hearts and heals us, he calls us, the body, to make straight the crooked path. And to do that on this earth, we have to make straight the crooked path in our heart so that we can prepare. And never in my whole life this past year that the scripture, you know, the spirit and the bride say, come. The earth is being shaken, but he has goodness for his people, an adventure like we've never known before. It's tabernacles. It's the last feast that shows who Jesus is in his fullness. And I believe that tabernacles, we are tents, and the Festival of Tabernacles is about God celebrating God for his provision in the wilderness and his glory in us, because that's how we take the land.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Just hear from God today. Listen to him.
Amen. The word. This is something that the Lord just showed me here in the last couple of weeks, just maybe more in depth. In John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, what the Lord spoke to me at that time, now that he's gone and he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, we are the Word made flesh. Amen?
Amen.
We are the Word made flesh. Mm-hmm. Now that he's gone and the Spirit of the living God dwells in us, now we are the Word made flesh. We're the Word that, you know, we're the Jesus that people need to see because of the Spirit of God living inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
Good, thanks.
Listen to the Word of God.
Stan, you said that, you know, it's a free gift, but we have to accept them and invite them into our heart. Mm-hmm. And to do that also, to do that for myself personally, I had to get out of the way and give him room to work.
Okay.
And not let what my thinking allows me to think. My thinking personally got me in trouble. And following my heart, this week I learned a very valuable lesson. I journal a lot. In my journal I wrote, I don't know the right thing to do, but I know the wrong thing to do. Mm. If I don't do the wrong thing, I don't get drunk, high, or in jail. You know, so life's getting better. Thanks.
Amen. It's good. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to be known, right? He wants to be known. Hey, Cheryl.
Oh, all these testimonies are so wonderful. That's what church is about, right? Testifying. Mm-hmm. Talking about the Lord, that and the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
This morning, before everything started and we were singing a little bit, the Lord spoke this scripture verse to me. He often tells me what is going to be talked about before it's talked. Philippians chapter 3. It's a long sentence. It goes on and on. I think I'll start at verse 8. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Pastor Stan said, no more intellectual discussions. You get sick of it. You really get sick of it. I just want Jesus.
Yeah.
Sick of all that stuff.
Ooh.
For whom I have suffered the loss of all things.
Yeah.
A lot of us have suffered a lot.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to suffer loss lots of times. But we keep going, right? And count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Move on. Pick up and move on. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
And the fellowship of his sufferings. Thank you, Brother Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Sufferings. You know, persecution happens here. I remember one time you were talking about that, and it's on a spectrum, meaning small to big. Because I counsel Christians every day. Somehow they find me. They said, you know what? I was hoping you were a believer. You're a believer. Oh, thank you, God. I said, this is no coincidence. This, God brought you in here. You know, and people talk about their sufferings. We all have crosses to carry, don't we? They might not be bleeding on our Bible, but we all hurt in one way or another, and God hears that. He feels for you. He really, really does. Being conformed to him in his death. I remember my dad telling me years and years ago, my dad was in World War II for 5 years. He said, you know what? I fought hard every day. He says, because I was dead. I didn't know if I was going to be alive the next day. I just fought. I fought because this was my life. I had no other life. Everything I had was gone. I was in a different country on foreign soil, and I fought like every day was my last day because I was dead. And I've never forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we that's what the Lord says, to live as though you're dead. Dead to this world, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you do have the power. My daughter was talking to me the other day. She's lost, 45 pounds. And she says, Mom, I don't even know how I did this. And I said, I know how you did. You have the gift of self-control given to you from the Holy Ghost. That's how you did it. You can't give anything credit in this world for what happened. It was self-control. That's all that it was.
Yeah.
I said, you have the power within you. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're so scared to do it, right? I just am really excited about what you're doing here right now because this is, I just feel him.
Yeah.
Do you feel him?
I feel him.
You need to feel him just to know that he's here with you. And sometimes your head doesn't get it, but that's okay. It will come.
Thank
it will
you.
Come. I get these little butterflies in my stomach and I go, oh. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I just feel him. Not always, but every day I know he's with me.
Amen.
I know. And that's all that matters. Bless you.
No, that's good. Let's stand up. Open my eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Sing it one more time. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch Him. And say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. This is just the beginning. And there's some things that were said here today that were said for you, and you know it. Some of you know it today. This is something I needed to hear. But just to start, just the remembering that God wants to be known, that He's really real, and that He shows Himself through His Word and His presence and through the power of the resurrection. If you seek Me, you will find Me, He says. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His amazing peace. Amen? God bless you. Open our eyes.